You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Merry Christmas. Hey, why don't you turn and wish two or three people a Merry Christmas? Come on, we're getting into the spirit this morning. Well, Merry Christmas to all of you. So good to have you with us. My name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I know we have several first-time guests. We're so glad you're with us today. And man, we're so proud of our kids. Come on, let's give our kids a hand one more time. Weren't they great? Kids did awesome. And how about Miss Erica? What a beautiful voice. Erica, lovely job. Beautiful. Well, you know, speaking of kids, I heard an interesting story this past week about a boy named Johnny who learned the nativity story in Sunday school. And his teacher said, I want you all to pay really close attention because we're actually going to have a quiz on this because this is one of the most important stories you're going to learn all year. And so Johnny wanted to make sure he was extra prepared for the quiz. So he wrote a few answers on his belt, just figured it'd help himself out a little bit. Well, that next week, the teacher began to quiz everybody, and she said, let's go ahead and start with some of the characters for the nativity story. And she asked Johnny, she said, Johnny, tell me, what was the name of the woman who gave birth in a stable? And Johnny just figured he'd double-check his belt, and he looked down, and he said, Mary? She said, yes, that's right. Good job, Johnny. She said, okay. What was the name of the man who was betrothed to be married to Mary? And he looked down and figured he'd double-check the belt, and he said, Joseph? She said, that's right, Johnny, good job. Now, this one's really important. Johnny, tell me, what was the name of the baby who was born in a manger? Johnny didn't want to mess this one up, so he double-checked the belt one last time, and he looked up and he said, Calvin Klein? Almost, close, it almost worked, but not quite. Well, listen, we're going to get into the Christmas spirit here. I know we have some kids who are excited to open some presents this Tuesday for Christmas. How many of you kids are excited to open some presents? How many of you adults or overgrown kids are excited to open some presents? Yeah, you never get too old for that. So here's what we're going to do, okay? I know we all have something on our wish list just for fun. Turn and share at least one thing on your wish list with somebody sitting close by. Go ahead, take about 20 seconds. You can talk in church. Share with somebody something that you're excited about that's on your wish list. All right, we've got a lot of kids in here, some overgrown kids here who are really excited about some of the things that are on their wish list. When I was a kid, we always had a wish list, and we got a lot of small things from aunts and uncles, but we always had the big items on our wish list that we got from our parents on Christmas Day. And growing up for me, it was things like Ninja Turtles and Transformers and video games and sports equipment like a football or a new bike. And you know, the awesome thing about being a dad of three boys is all the toys that I grew up playing with in the 80s, they've all come back around. So it's like reliving my childhood all over again. It's awesome. It's so good. Because here's the thing, when you get older, you know, your wish list starts to change. I hate to tell you kids, but you know, it just doesn't get as exciting when you get older. Like this year, you know, the top of my wish list, I told Amy, I just want some new slippers. I had to throw my slippers out this past year. They got old and funky, and like my feet are cold all the time. So I'm really excited to get a pair of slippers. I know, kids, that's boring. A couple of years ago, I just wanted some new socks. How bad is that? I was going through my sock drawer, and I had holes in all my socks. I felt like a hobo or something. I'm like, can somebody just get me some new socks for Christmas? And then a few years ago, my allergies were really bothering me. And what I really wanted for Christmas was a Dyson vacuum cleaner. Isn't that sad when a guy gets excited about getting a Dyson vacuum cleaner? I was so proud of my Dyson vacuum cleaner. I was cleaning all the time. Amy didn't vacuum for like a year. I'm serious. And I was really proud. Like some guys get power tools for Christmas. I was like, no, I got a Dyson vacuum cleaner. Oh yeah. I called my friends up. I'm like, yeah, you want to come over and check it out? I'll let you take it for a whirl if you're nice. Come on. Turned the sucker on. It was like sucking dust up from under the couch. We had to hold on to Nicholas. He was a baby at the time. He almost flew into the vacuum cleaner. It was awesome. But things change, right? When we get older, your wish list changes. And I think it changes because we long for like simpler but more meaningful things like health for our sick loved ones, that we would have a better relationship with our friends and our family, the people we care about, that our loved ones would be happy, that there would be peace on this broken, divided planet for once. Those are the things we really want, aren't they? Those are the really meaningful things of Christmas when you get older. And it reminds me of that song, Grown Up Christmas List. How many of you know that song that plays on the radio this time of year? Actually, we have a clip for you from the Kelly Clarkson version. Check it out.
So here's my lifelong wish, my grown-up Christmas list, not for myself, but for a world in need. No more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts, and everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. Oh, this is my grown-up Christmas list.
Isn't that a good one? How many of you like that song? It's a good one, right? I was going to attempt to sing that this morning, but the worship team promised that they would never let me step foot on this stage ever again. So we figured we'd leave the heavy lifting to Kelly Clarkson. But you know, I know that song's kind of a sappy song, but I think it speaks to a longing that we all experience in our hearts, something we experience this time of year. And that longing's different for everybody. Maybe for some of you, it's the longing for a return to a time in life when things were simpler. You know, you think about the stresses of life and the financial obligations and all the burdens that we feel. And sometimes, especially at Christmas, I think we long for a time like maybe when we were kids, you know, for Christmas when it was simple, or a time in life when things were just simpler. For some of you, it's the longing for loved ones who are no longer with us. Maybe loved ones who have moved far away, who can't be here with you for Christmas, or maybe you lost a loved one, and you especially sense that, you feel that this time of year. You long for those loved ones that you've lost, and maybe it's a longing for what we sing about this time of year at Christmas: peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You know, we look at this divided world that we live in, this broken world where we put on the news and we see, you know, just terrible stories, and sometimes we just long for our world to be like what we actually sing about at Christmas time. I think we sense this longing deep in our hearts, and this longing that we have, it points to something that Christmas promises to us. And we're going to take the next few moments this morning to talk about that. Now, for this whole month of Advent, we've been teaching a series called Above All Names. You can see the different names here on the boards that we have, these art boards up here. And we've been discussing a scripture. It's actually a prophecy that comes from the prophet Isaiah, that he spoke about 700 years before the birth of Christ. He prophesied the coming of the Messiah, the promised one, the king who would save his people. And he gave us four names to describe what this Messiah would be like. And so we're going to look at this scripture, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I think these words will be familiar to you. These are words that we see on Christmas cards, words that we sing in Christmas carols this time of year. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How many of you recognize those words? Yeah, these are words that we're familiar with in the Christmas season. Now, to understand this prophecy, it helps to know a little bit of the background. See, this isn't just a scripture about Christmas time. This isn't just a Christmas prophecy. It had its own original setting. In fact, the setting of this story is that Isaiah actually prophesied to a king named King Ahaz. And it wasn't a peaceful time. It wasn't a happy time. It wasn't a joyful time. This prophecy was actually spoken during a time when there was war looming on the horizon. It was a time of fear. It was a time of darkness. It was a time when the kingdom of Judah was being shaken. And in the midst of this dark time, Isaiah actually began to prophesy about a day when things would be different. He began to prophesy about a time when a new king would be born and there would be an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that couldn't be shaken like the kingdoms of this earth that are shaken by war. Now, fast forward to the New Testament about 700 years later in the Gospel of Matthew. The writer of Matthew, he tells us that this prophecy is ultimately fulfilled by the birth of Christ, and that Jesus Christ would be a different kind of king who would bring a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of peace. not like the kings and the rulers that the people of this time were used to. They were used to kings who ruled by force, kings who used coercion and violence and armies to get their way. No, this would be a different kind of king. And so we've looked at all of these different names. We've looked at Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Today, we look at the final name for Jesus. Jesus, our Prince of Peace. I want all the kids in here to say Prince of Peace. All right, make sure you guys are listening. So Isaiah tells us that Jesus would be a Prince of Peace. But what does that mean? Like what prince, what ruler can actually maintain order through peace, without an army, without being strong? Well, let's talk about what that means. See, to understand this idea of Prince of Peace, it helps to understand the biblical idea of peace. This word that we have is peace in our English translation. See, this word is actually translated peace. It comes from the Old Testament Hebrew word, and that's the word shalom. Everybody turn to somebody and say shalom. Now, many of you know this word. If you've had Jewish friends or neighbors, you know this word shalom, because this is the traditional greeting for Jewish people. In fact, I was in the Holy Land just a few weeks ago, and everywhere we went, you heard people saying shalom to each other, which means peace. But when we use the word peace, we tend to think of it in the English connotation as the absence of conflict, right? Like, let's pray for world peace. Give peace a chance. Why can't we just have peace for once? It's the absence of conflict. But the biblical idea of peace isn't the absence of anything. It's actually the presence of the goodness of God. It's the wholeness, the completeness of God. Shalom is the way God intended the world to be when he first created it. Before the world was broken by the curse of sin, God created it to be a place of wholeness where his presence could dwell. So to bring shalom, it's the bringing together of everything that's broken. It's the it's the mending of all that's fractured. It's the putting back together of dreams that have been broken. So when Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, it means that he's come with the authority and the power to make everything right that's been broken in our world. Now, fast forward about 700 years to the time of Christ. Jesus finally comes. The incarnation happens, the infleshing of God that we sang about. Jesus, the Son of God, comes to this earth in the form of a baby, born of a virgin, but he comes to this world just like every one of us entered this world. Let that just hit your mind for a moment. It's amazing. We sing about it this time of year, the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. He comes to this earth and then he grows up and he begins to teach and preach and he begins preaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. The coming of the kingdom of God. And everybody wanted to know what that meant. Here was Jesus of Nazareth, this great preacher, this great prophet, this great miracle worker. He was preaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. And people wanted to know, what kind of kingdom is this going to be? Is this going to be an earthly kingdom? Is he going to overthrow the Romans? See, at this time, the Jewish people, they were an oppressed people. They were a conquered people. They were ruled by the Romans. They paid taxes to Caesar. And so many of them thought maybe Jesus will come and he'll overthrow the Romans and establish an earthly kingdom and restore the glory of the Jewish people. Many people, when they heard about this kingdom, they were the marginalized, they were the oppressed, they were the poor, and they wondered, is there room for me in this kingdom that Jesus of Nazareth is preaching about? Everybody wanted to know, what is this kingdom going to be like? And then Jesus began showing them what his kingdom would be like. He opened his mouth and he began to preach good news to the poor. He began to heal people. He restored the sight to the blind, and he healed crippled people, and he touched unclean people, and he went to people that everybody else had forgotten, and he restored broken people, and he extended mercy to sinners. In one story, we read that the religious leaders, they brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they throw her down before Jesus, and they said, the Old Testament, the law says that this woman should be stoned. What do you say we should do with this woman, teacher? And Jesus said, whoever's without sin, throw the first stone. And one by one, they walked away. And Jesus came to this woman who said, does anyone here condemn you? He said, then neither do I. Go and sin no more. He restored this woman. In another story, Jesus was making his way through the crowds, and he was actually on the way to go to visit a ruler's house and to heal his young daughter, when a woman who had been bleeding for years, she was ceremonially unclean, she was an outcast, she couldn't go to the temple to worship, and she reached out through the crowds, and she touched Jesus, and she was healed instantly, and Jesus stopped everything, all the crowds, all the commotion. He said, someone's touched me. I felt healing power leave me, and this woman came to him trembling. She said, it was me, Lord. And he said, your faith has made you whole. Right there, she was healed. And he said, go in peace. Go in shalom. Go in the completeness and the wholeness of God. See, Jesus was showing us that he didn't just come to save us from our sins, but he came to restore peace to our lives. He came to restore shalom, the wholeness, the goodness, the presence of God to our lives and to our worlds, to our world. Now, this is the peace that Jesus offers us this Christmas. This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. This is what we sing about. Stop and think about this for just a moment. This is the promise of Christmas. This is the hope that we have this time of year, that we can be restored, that we can be whole. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you feel a mix of joy and sadness during the holidays? You don't have to put your hands up, but think about it. Sometimes you hear a Christmas carol that makes you happy, puts you in a really good mood. And then sometimes you hear a Christmas carol that makes you kind of sad, maybe like that song before, makes you cry. You know, we say it's the most wonderful time of the year, but it's really the most schizophrenic time of the year. Really, like one minute we're happy, one minute we're sad. Like, what is this all about? Why is that? I think it's because deep down inside of us, there's a longing in our hearts for peace in our lives, for peace in our world, for this wholeness, for this goodness that we're talking about today. Like, we have the sense that we know the world is not as it should be. You know, listen to me, there's one thing that we all have in common here today, whether you belong to this church, whether you're a guest, whether you consider yourself to be a Christian, or maybe somebody invited you, or you're not quite sure what you believe about faith and Jesus and all that we're celebrating today. Here's one thing we all have in common. We all have the sense that the world is not as it could be or should be. And we have this longing inside of us for something better. And I think if we're honest, our lives aren't quite what we hoped they would be in some ways. And why is that? It's because we all have some area of brokenness in our lives. One thing we all have in common as we go through this life, as we go through this world, things happen to us, disappointments happen to us, hurts happen to us, people let us down, and we all carry around a little bit of brokenness on the inside of us. We all have a need for this healing, for this shalom, for this restoration of what's been broken. And we experience it in different ways. Some of you, even though we're in the midst of this joyous season, the season of rejoicing, you carry around with you a sense that there's something on the inside that's a little bit off, that's a little bit broken. For some of you, it's an anxiety. You know, there's fear and there's doubt. There's even worry about the year ahead. For some of you, it's a hurt. You know, there's somebody maybe you need to forgive or something you need to let go of. For some people, it's an addiction. It's some self-destructive habit that it's a coping mechanism, but we really know deep down on the inside it's not good for us, but it's something we find ourselves turning to and we need to get free from it. For some people, it's a loss of purpose. It's just this sense of like, what am I doing in life? Like, you know, I'm not even sure what I'm doing right now in this season of life. For some people, it's a broken dream. It's a broken dream. You'd say, I thought life would be different. I thought by the time I got to this place in life, I'd be further ahead in my career. I'd be in a different place in this relationship. Like, life didn't turn out to be quite like what I thought it would be like. Listen, there's one thing we all have in common as human beings. We all carry around a little bit of brokenness on the inside. It doesn't matter if on the outside you look like you have it all together. You've been successful. You live in a nice house. You have a great career, great marriage, great family, whatever. Every one of us, we all carry around a little crack somewhere in our hearts. And Jesus is saying to us in this Christmas season, I am the peace you're searching for. I am the shalom, the wholeness, the completeness. I'm the missing piece of the puzzle that you long for in this Christmas season. There's a longing in your heart for a reason. That's because the God of all creation put it there, and I am the one who can fulfill that. You know, the writer of this song that we listened to before, I think they were onto something. Look at the second verse of Grown Up Christmas List. It says this, as children we believe the grandest sight to see was something lovely wrapped beneath the tree. Come on, isn't that true when you're a kid? What could be more lovely than a present wrapped beneath the tree? But heaven only knows that packages and bows can never heal a heartache human soul. And I think that writer of that song was really on to something there. You know, this time of year, so many people are trying to find fulfillment in something or somebody. There's this sense of maybe if I could just make more money, if that Christmas bonus comes through, I would feel better. For some people, it's like if I could just get into the right relationship, if I could just find the right person, the Mr. Perfect, the Miss Perfect, then life would be good. No, it wouldn't. Your life would just get more complicated. Trust me. It'll just get more complicated. Any of us who've ever been in a relationship, your life won't get easier. It'll get more complicated because that person will bring their problems into your life. Come on, just be honest in church this morning. For some people, it's if I could just have the perfect Christmas, if I could get the perfect gift, if we could sit there and have the perfect party, if everything would just go right this Christmas, I could find satisfaction deep in my heart. So many people are searching for something this time of year. But here's the truth. The packages and bows can never heal a heartache human soul. Those things can't do it. But you know who can? It's not a something, it's a someone. It's Jesus Christ. It's the one that we sing about at Christmas. It's the one we read about at Christmas, the Son of God who left the riches of heaven, who came down into the mess of humanity, into the brokenness of this world, and he took on flesh and blood. That's what the scripture says. The scripture says he took on flesh and blood, and he walked in our shoes, and he knows what it is to hurt. He knows what it is to experience loss. He knows what it is to go through disappointment. He knows abandonment. He even knows what it is to go to the cross and die. Like he's experienced everything that humanity can experience. There's a scripture that says that we have a high priest, Christ, who knows what it is to suffer. He's experienced every temptation we've experienced. That's who Jesus is. This baby who was born in a manger grew up, and he grew up to become the Prince of Peace. And he showed us how to live. He showed us how to love each other like no one has ever showed us before. He showed us what God is like. He revealed God to us like a heavenly Father. He said, you can know God in such a way that he's not a distant God that you pray prayers up into heaven and you wonder if he hears you. No, he taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. You can know him. You can walk with God. He revealed truths to us about God like the world had never seen before. And then he showed us what true love is when he went to the cross and he gave his life, when he sacrificed himself. He said, this is what true love looks like. This is what forgiveness looks like. This is what it is to love your enemies. And he went to the cross. And then he gave us the gift of eternal life because he resurrected and he conquered sin and he conquered death. And he gives us the gift of eternal life. This is the Jesus who comes to us in the Christmas season and offers us a different kind of peace because he's a different kind of king. And he brings a different kind of kingdom. And in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said it like this to his disciples. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I love that because Jesus said, I came to bring you a peace that you can't find in this world, that you can't find in gifts and relationships and status and a new car, a new house, a Christmas bonus. No, I come to give you a peace that's not of this world because it comes from my kingdom. It comes from heaven because I'm the Son of God and I bring it to you. It's a shalom. It's the wholeness. It's the completeness. It's the presence of the goodness of God in your life. The Apostle Paul said it's a peace that passes, that transcends all understanding. You know what that means? It means peace when it doesn't even make sense to have peace. For some of you, you're going through a season of life right now, even in the midst of the holidays. Maybe your family's been through a crisis. Maybe you're in a financial crunch. Maybe somebody you love has been sick. Maybe you lost someone. And you would say, Pastor, if you only knew what I'm going through, this is supposed to be the most joyous time of year. I don't know how I'm supposed to experience this kind of peace. I have good news for you this morning. You got up and you came to church today. I have good news for you. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's not a human peace. It's not a peace of this world. It's the peace of God, which guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so I have a word for you this morning. Maybe some of you came to church to hear these words of John 14, 27. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Maybe for somebody in this place, you came to church this morning. You're the guest of someone. You're the friend of somebody. You got up to church just to come and hear that word today. Don't let your hearts be troubled. He's a God who's for you. He's a God who loves you. You don't have to be afraid. There's one thing we all have in common in this room this morning that joins every one of us as human beings. We all carry around a little bit of brokenness in our hearts. We all experience this in some way. And here's the thing, we can't fix ourselves. We try hard, don't we? You can read books. You go to motivational seminars. You can try really hard. You should work on yourself. I'm not giving you an excuse to cop out, right? All you kids in here today, you should listen to your parents better, especially on Christmas if you want to get some good gifts. Come on, all the parents said amen. Come on. Husbands, you should be a little kinder to your wives. Yeah, you should go out of your way for her, okay? Come on. Come on, wives, you should be a little nicer to your husbands. Come on, we all got to put in a little bit of work. If you're single, you should work hard to be a good daughter, a good son, a good friend. Every one of us, we got a little work cut out for us. We should put a little effort into this. Shouldn't make excuses for ourselves. But here's the truth. When it all comes down to it, we can't fix ourselves, people. There are areas of our lives that are broken. Inside of you, I'd put it this way. Inside of you is the person you always wanted to be. Deep down inside of you, there's a version of yourself, and you think, if I could just get that version of me to come out. It's the me on my good days. It's the me on my best day. It's the husband I want to be on my best day. It's the mom I want to be on my best day. It's the friend I want to be. It's the worker I want to be. It's the business owner I want to be. It's the kind of person I want to be on my best day. It's just the problem is there's so many of those bad days in there. If I could just get that best version of me to come out. And here's the reality. You can't fix yourself. And that's why God had to send his son to us to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. John 3:16 is the most famous scripture in the Bible. We've all heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? It's Christmas time. He's the greatest giver the world has ever seen. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him won't perish, but they'll have everlasting life, a different quality of life. The Apostle Paul said, whoever's in Christ is a new creation. Come on, the promise of Christmas is God came down to this planet, and the scripture says that we were made in his image, but in the curse of sin, something happened to that. But think about this. The Son of God comes and takes on flesh and blood. He gets the image of God back into humanity. He restores us. He redeems us. He lifts your head, and he says, you can be the person you've always wanted to be. You can be the person that God made you to be. Deep down on the inside, there's something inside of you that knows the kind of person you want to be. And you can't do it for yourself. But the Son of God came and he lived a perfect life on your behalf. He died so you could be forgiven of your sins, of your failures, and he resurrected so you could experience new life. Not just one day when you go to heaven, but new life here and now. That's what happened on the first Christmas. That's what happened when the Son of God invaded this planet. And that's the kind of life we can experience now. It's new and abundant life. Jesus said, I came to give life and life more abundantly so that you could be restored, you could be redeemed. You know what? When I was a kid, sometimes on Christmas Day, we got really anxious with our toys. And sometimes our parents got us toys that you had to assemble or put together. And sometimes as kids, we would get frustrated with the toys and we didn't follow the instructions. How many of you ladies know some things never change? The men don't follow the instructions. Not much changes from childhood to adulthood, right? Come on, ladies, pray for us. And every now and then, has this ever happened to you? We broke some of our toys right on Christmas Day. We broke some. My parents are like, geez, like, okay, there goes your allowance for the week. Like, actually, we didn't get an allowance growing up. I wish. My son asked me for an allowance. I'm like, we let you live in this house. This is a benevolent dictatorship. We put a roof over your head and we feed you and you sleep in a warm bed. Merry Christmas, son. You have everything you need. Come on. We didn't get an allowance, but every now and then we broke our toys on Christmas and it was kind of sad. Here's the reality. There are broken things about us that we can't fix ourselves, even though we try. But there's a Father in heaven who knows the instructions. There's a Father in heaven who knows everything about the inside of you because he's the one who assembled you. He's the creator. He's the God who's watched over you your whole life. And he sent his son to do for you what you can't do for yourself. And that's the promise of Christmas. That's the promise of Christmas. So here's my question for you this morning. We're going to pray in just a moment. We're going to sing a final song. But the question I have for you is, what would it look like in your life to experience Jesus as the Prince of Peace? Not to read about him on a Christmas card, not to hear some carols being played in the shopping mall, but to really know Christ. What would it be like for you to experience that peace and not just the absence of conflict, but the fullness of the goodness of God, the fullness of the presence of God, the completeness in your life that comes in and heals you deep down in your soul, deep down in your heart, like nothing can. What would your home look like? If you're married, what would your marriage look like? What would your life look like? What would your stress levels look like? What would your anxiety look like? What would your mental state look like for you to experience that kind of peace, the peace that's offered to us at Christmas? Why don't you stand with us this morning? We're going to pray. And if you're newer to our church, we always have a moment of reflection at the end of the message. And this is a time for us to just in reverence reflect on the message. And maybe if you're bold enough to say, hey, God, what are you speaking to me? I came to church for this Christmas celebration today. could have been somewhere else, but I'm here today. Lord, what are you saying to me? Because I believe he wants to speak to us in a personal way today. And I know in this room, for every different person, there's some different need. There's a different longing. There's a different crack in our ornaments. There's a different brokenness for each one of us here that only God can repair. And so this morning, we want to take that to him and imagine what it would look like to live with his peace in our lives. So would you pray with me? Would you make it personal? Would you bow your head? And would you say, Lord, what are you saying to me this Christmas? Just bow your head, Lord. What are you speaking to me in this Christmas? God, we thank you for the promise of your word. We thank you for this wonderful season that we find ourselves in, the season when we celebrate the best news that has ever been announced on planet Earth. For unto us is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God, we thank you that you didn't leave us in our brokenness. You didn't leave us in our sin, but you sent your one and only precious son to this planet to walk in our shoes, to take on flesh and blood, to live a perfect, sinless life on our behalf. You went to the cross. You were resurrected to make peace with humanity so that we could know the fullness of the presence of the goodness of God in our lives, so that, God, we could have a relationship with you. Lord, today help us. Give us eyes to see. Give us a sanctified imagination to picture what it would look like to invite that kind of peace into our lives. Now, Lord, I pray that for each person in this room. Each person in this room, that they would know your peace, oh God. That they would know your goodness, oh God. That they would know your shalom. The completeness that you want to bring to their lives. That, God, you would order the chaos of our lives. Father, there are people in this room, every one of us really, who need your wholeness. Lord, may it come into our hearts. We invite it into our lives, into our families, into our homes, into our need today. And we thank you for it. And now I want to take a moment to pray for those of you who, even as we sang these songs today, even as you heard this message, something would tug on your heart. You'd say, I want to know God that way. I want to have a relationship with God the way you talk about, Pastor, the way you describe it, the way you described how Christ made it possible for us. And I want to lead you in a prayer specifically because I believe that the Lord is tugging on some hearts today. We believe that's the Holy Spirit. And here's the truth. God gave us the gift of Christmas, the gift of his son. It's a free gift. Jesus freely gave of himself. But just like any gift, at some point in time, you have to receive it. There's a response that has to happen in which we say, yes, God, yes. And so today I want to invite some of you to give your yes to Jesus Christ. So would you bow your head with me? This is a sacred moment. Bow your heads in prayer. And if that's you, would you just echo this prayer in your heart, maybe under your breath today? And every one of us can pray this, but there are some people in this place, especially you feel as if God is issuing a personal invitation to you today. And I want to tell you he is. So would you pray with me? Jesus, I give you my yes today. I give you my yes. I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. That you came to this world for me, that you lived a sinless life for me, that you gave your life on the cross for me to forgive me of my sins, and you were resurrected to give me the gift of eternal life. And I receive you in my life today. I repent of my sins. I turn to you today, and I trust in you as my Savior. I give you my yes today, and I receive you into my life in your precious name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.